zippers. Known for being toothy. Famous for being zippy. Nobody thinks much about them, so let's have some fun. Let's find out why zippers are secretly incredibly fascinating. Hey there, folks! Welcome to a whole new podcast episode, a podcast all about why being alive is more interesting than people think it is. My name is Alex Schmidt, and I'm not alone. I'm joined by Dan Hopper and Benny Wayne Sully, two wonderful returning guests. Dan Hopper is an old friend going back to our days at collegehumor.com. I used to work at College Humor, and a sister site of theirs, and things like that. Today, Dan is a managing editor at Ranker. He's also a comedy writer who's written for everything from College Humor to The New Yorker to The Washington Post. And he's guested on this show about everything from hockey pucks to the U.S. Forest Service. Benny Wayne Sully guested on the episode of this show about junk mail. He's also a wonderful comedian and actor. Benny's part of the team behind NDND, which is a YouTube channel where they do tabletop role-playing games and all the performers are native. Benny also stars in a short film called My First Native American Boyfriend that is in film festivals right now, and that's written and directed by other friend of the show, Joey Clift. And also, I'm going to put in links as soon as I have them. Benny is going to be in a play in New York City this fall, like coming up very soon. The play is called Peerless. It's described as a darkly comedic twist on Shakespeare's Macbeth set in the cutthroat world of elite college admissions. So, dark comedy, stage play in New York City. If you're going to be at all in the city and want to see some theater, check out Benny Wayne Sully in Peerless. Also, I've gathered all of our zip codes and used internet resources like native-land.ca to acknowledge that I recorded this on the traditional land of the Canarsie and Lenape peoples, acknowledge Dan recorded this on the traditional land of the Lenape people, acknowledge Benny recorded this on the traditional land of the Gabriel Inuit Tongva and Keech and Chumash and Fernandinho Tataviam peoples, and acknowledge that in all of our locations, Native people are very much still here. That feels worth doing on each episode. And today's episode is about zippers, which is a perfect topic for this podcast. Also a patron-chosen topic. Thank you to Rex Coker for suggesting that. Also thank you to Ren Callahan for suggesting that, and to everybody who voted for it. Only other thing to say before we start, and this might sound a little random, but it's not. I want to say hello, and I want to say thank you to every SIFPOD listener and supporter in Sweden. The country of Sweden, thank you very much for being here. Making this episode about zippers, for reasons that will make sense later, got me interested in the Swedish listenership of the podcast. Sweden is the number 10 country in the entire world for downloads of this podcast, so pretty high up the list. And also, you know, huge thank you to Linus, thank you to other people who back this show at sifpod.fun and do it from Sweden, who do it in Krona. There will be, like, jokes and bits about Sweden on this episode. That's mainly because Sweden has a surprisingly central role in the stories of zippers. And they're not the only country here, too. Japan pops up a lot. The United States pops up a lot. You know, this is a global item, and I can't wait to talk about it. So, please sit back or curl up in a ball with your favorite zip-up hoodie swaddling you all around yourself. A little cozy vacation. Either way, here's this episode of Secretly Incredibly Fascinating with Dan Hopper and Benny Wayne Sully. I'll be back after we wrap up. Talk to you then. Dan, Benny, it is so good to have you both. And of course, I always start by asking guests their relationship to the topic or opinion of it. Either of you can start, but how do you feel about zippers?
I have like a pretty decent relationship with them, but I feel like after a couple years of only wearing comfy pants, you know, I feel like most of my pants now don't have zippers. Even like a lot of my formal ones are just like stitched in and it's just a button situation or just like a drawstring.
Yeah.
But I have like this excitement about zippers because there was this ride at my yearly county fair called the Zipper.
Ooh, I know the Zipper.
The, right?
Yeah.
And the zipper was the one where you would sit in it and you would rock back and forth trying to just do perpetual flips. And we'd get yelled at by the guy who's like, hey, stop flipping in there. And now, like, thinking back, like, he probably knew that that ride was unsafe and was like, they're going to undo all the screws in this mechanism.
The whole point is to flip. What? That doesn't make any sense.
The whole point is to flip. This yeah. dude would scream at us from, like, we'd be in the top wow. just, like, flipping as much as possible. And we could hear him screaming, like, stop flipping. It was great. But yeah, I liked that ride because I think that there was the whole thing where it was, I was always too short to ride it. And then one year I could ride it and I was like, yeah, but then I was like, oh, this isn't as good as Gravitron. But yeah, that's just a little county fair. Some people listening to this are like, yeah, Gravitron is better. He's right.
I just want to know, like, what county? It probably travels, but what county? Where is this?
Johnson County, Indiana, baby.
Nice. Well,
I think the zipper is one of those standard rides, because I remember they had it at the boardwalk in Ocean City, Maryland, and my brother and I, no one ever went on it, because I guess it was like, it's like so like debilitating, you know, you like come off, and if you're an adult, you like go on and it just like throws off your equilibrium for the rest of your life, basically.
Yeah.
But my brother and I, you know, we were like 10 and 14 or you know, 12 and 8 or something, I forget. So we just like went on again and again and again, like 5-6 times in a row, flipping around. It's awesome. It's like,
it's the best.
There's two wheels that hook onto cars, but the cars are like hooked on loosely. So they swing around and then the wheels spin and then the whole thing spins in the opposite direction. So you just keep flipping forwards, backwards, like the whole time. If I went on it now, I would absolutely die. I wouldn't be able to like walk in a straight line the rest of my life.
We should all find a zipper. And yeah. try it. And try to ride it together. And just see who lasts the longest.
I also like the idea that this travels from county to county and it's just the same employee watching the rules get violated nationwide.
That's actually, you know, there's like, a very good chance that it is the same ride. And they just deconstruct it and move it to the next place.
Yeah. All right, let's see if the people in this Iowa State Fair try flipping it. No! Oh! It's just every... It's like newly appalled in every zip code. Like, can right. someone just go and enjoy it in a straight
just
line?
Just ride it like it's a Ferris wheel. Yeah. It's just a funky Ferris wheel.
And then, like, some pundits, like, Americans have never been more divided. And then that guy is the counterpoint. Like, we're all the same. This country is so bonded.
Why are there 6 anti-flipping op-ed writers on the New York Times staff? There's only, like, 10 of them total.
Like, the new Brett Stevens op-ed yeah. is scathing.
Like, who do they represent? No one is...
yeah, and Dan, I was about to ask, how are you with the regular old zipper?
Yeah, when I saw the topic, I was trying to think of my relationship. I feel like mostly in the modern, like nowadays, the only time I ever think of zippers is when they break, right? You just completely take them for granted. Oh. It's either this like weird inconvenience or it works fine and you never think about it. The only interesting memory I could think of zipper related, besides the ride the zipper, that didn't even cross my mind. I can't believe you brought that up because I love that ride.
That that ride was a life-changing experience for me. Yeah. I still cannot walk straight.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember like when I was a little kid, remember I like when you're a kid, you have like 3 pairs of pants or something. I don't know, I like 3 or 4 pairs of pants total that I just wear every day as a kid. And I think like 2 of them were jeans with zippers and 2 had like buttons. And I just did not wear the ones with buttons because I was wow. like a little kid. I was just like, I can't figure this out. Like you have to, the buttons you have to like slide into the other one, not the snap buttons. It's like, I'm like, this is, I, with zipper, I give up.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, I have no time for buttons. I got to go, you know, play Dragon Warrior 2 or something.
Something I just thought of is in the past like couple of years while I've had long hair, for the listeners, my hair goes like past my shoulders right now. I haven't worn any like zip up hoodies because I had one instance where I wasn't thinking and I zipped up a hoodie and I had a bunch of hair get caught in it. That's not yeah. a fun experience. Like there's an inherent danger to zippers, I feel. It makes them exciting in a way.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's like a jagged series of metal teeth that were just like, I'm really glad this is on my pants. That makes sense.
It's the perfect like leather jacket accent, you know? There's no more of a really cool vibe than the leather jacket and the zipper combo. A leather jacket with a bunch of zippers, like even on the pockets. Across the street when you see that coming at you.
I can't lie and say that I have considered like the alluring danger of zippers as like part of the draw to them. Like, it sounds like you're like promoting a horror movie on like a talk show, or you're like, you know, we love the danger or something. It's like, it's like you're promoting your like ski jacket. Like, it might get caught in your hair. We all have share that fear as humans. Oh. That's what draws us to things with zippers on them.
Like, buy this light corduroy chore coat for the zipper.
Man, now I wish zippers were like one of those things where it's like witches. We're like back to Puritan New England. They've been afraid of the zipper. That would be great. That's not a thing. Like,
they believed like zipping it from bottom to top like sealed your fate or something, kind of some like obscure Bible passage. Like, and then later they're like, oh, that wasn't in the Bible at all. That was added in some edition that some king was like, I was mad at this duke, and so I just threw this in the Bible. And, you know, it's like it's just in there for like 400 years.
When we said it was "Thou shalt not zipper," big mistranslation. It's actually an anti-murder passage. So, apologies.
that was actually George, who works over at the fair. He was tired of people flipping on his ride, and so he made his own commandment
written in the margins, like way later. It's like that's not. I don't think that's.
I think that's a metaphor.
There is one Bible that you could just write in. It's like, no one write in this, or else it becomes the Bible. Wait, look at this. Who wrote this in red? This isn't the Bible. This isn't the Bible.
There's the master copy. Gotcha.
Yeah, the Pope just ratted at everybody. Like, mess up.
Which, fun fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but to open that copy, you have to unzip the binding.
Yeah. There we go. Would it be built like a trapper keeper? Like, it's got a zipper around the outside. Like, the Pope's carrying it from class to class.
Dividers.
Like,
yeah. Like
Jesus and some dolphins flying through space. It's like the logo.
It's a holographic cover. And if you scratch it, it makes really cool noises. Y'all might be turning me, like, really religious.
It sounds pretty good, yeah.
The only other zipper thing I thought of too was the scene in There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Where he gets a zipper cut at the beginning.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I saw that scene as a kid and was that kind of added to that inherent danger.
That scene and the situation will be in the bonus show. So we'll talk about that later.
Get
more into it.
Cool. Okay.
And in the meantime, we get into the stats and numbers about this topic. Because on every episode, our first fascinating thing about the topic is a quick set of fascinating numbers and statistics. And this week, that's in a segment called Cold Hard Facts. Math done for you. Some things are learned better, baby, with numbers chewed. Transition. And I think it's gonna be a list of stats introduced by a song that's wacky and bad, submitted to Gmail or to @sifpod00. All right, that name was submitted by Ben Burris. Thank you very much, Ben. And we have a new name for this segment every week. Like I sang, it's @sifpod on Twitter or sifpod@gmail.com.
I was waiting on you to sing out, and I'm a zipper man. Oh.
The song's about stats, not zippers.
You're right. You're right. I'm a numbers man.
I just can't believe, I mean, you guys can't see what we're looking at, but I just can't believe Alex got Elton John to come onto the podcast to sing that. I mean, what a moment that was to watch the actual guy himself. I mean, you could tell from the voice that was him. It's just like, it's just incredible. I got chills.
Thank you.
I still have goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad he and Dua Lipa could be here so I could use the bathroom for a bit. That was great. What a good break.
And it was nice of him to do, you know, 13 takes so we could get like a good one.
Yeah, but... well, I mean, you get what you pay for with those cameos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So weirdly, the first number is musical, so we'll get into it. The first number is 1971, the year 1971. That's the year when the band The Rolling Stones put out an album cover with a working zipper on the front. If people know the album Sticky Fingers, released 1971, like the original album pressings of that, the cover had like an entire actual zipper on the front of the jeans.
I do know it, but I had the CD and it doesn't do... It's just a photo of a zipper.
That's why vinyl's coming back and CDs are going away.
Yeah. I had the files from someone else in the freshman dorm floor at college. So yeah, I did not receive a zipper with that. Yeah.
In college, I took a class that was the history of rock music. And it was mainly focused on like the 60s. And professor, he had this album.
Oh,
with
wow.
the working zipper. Yeah, he had the original pressing. He also had a bunch of letters that he sent to the Beatles when he was like 8, and it was adorable. But yeah, he had this actual thing, because I remember him talking about the fact that it had a zipper component.
This Vanity Fair talks about this, also Far Out magazine. Cover of Sticky Fingers was a collaboration between an album cover designer named Craig Braun and the artist Andy Warhol. So Andy Warhol worked on this. And then apparently with the album, you could pull the zipper up and down. And then when you pulled it down, you could see another picture inside of Mick Jagger's underwear.
Was there like tactile underwear, like fabric-y on it, I thought?
Oh, that I don't know. I'm not sure.
Might be confusing with the time I actually unzipped Mick Jagger's pants.
Yeah.
That's a boring story. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, people are like, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about the fair rides again. We want to hear more about Johnson County, Indiana.
Also, I have to give a shout out to Andy Warhol from my hometown of Pittsburgh, PA.
Oh.
Yeah.
And his idea here, it turned out to be very impractical. This is like a real metal zipper, and so it often damaged the vinyl, especially if there was a stack of copies like getting shipped together in a big pile and squished down. And according to Far Out magazine, the zipper specifically destroyed the first part of the song Brown Sugar. So if you got the album, that's what you lose.
We are rescinding the shout out to Andy now.
Oh man, I've never been more embarrassed to be. Yeah. I mean, what an inefficient...
Scratch that from the
process.
Episode.
Yeah. Well, he did. He moved to New York very young. Okay. I barely even lived in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't claim him.
His ideas in Pittsburgh were great. This was a New York idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sticks.
Everybody knows that Andy Warhol's New York era was his lowest point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was working at some factory, as I understand it. Not even an artist, right? Like, forget it, you know? Well, and next number here, oddly also ties into that stat song because it's about space. The next number is 6 months. And 6 months is the amount of time that was the shelf life of the zippers on spacesuits for the Apollo missions. Apparently, within 6 months of manufacture, they were considered too degraded to be airtight and be used in space anymore.
Wow. I didn't even realize that a zipper could be airtight, necessarily. But I guess that makes sense. That's crazy.
Yeah, the thing is, like a regular zipper is not airtight, and they had to build super special zipper systems for these spacesuits. And the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum has online stuff about it, and they have pictures of one from Apollo 14. What it is two entire sets of brass metal zippers and a layer of rubber in between. And then also, once an astronaut, like, put on their helmet, pressurized the suit, that made the rubber expand and fill any little cracks in the zipper area. So, like, your regular jacket or whatever is not airtight. It's this extremely special thing. And then also, apparently, rubber reacts poorly to copper, which is one of the ingredients in the brass of the zippers. And so there's basically a bad chemical reaction going on within this zipper system all the time. And that's why they wore out after 6 months.
I'm curious about, like, the testing of that. I feel like there'd be so much trepidation about, like, oh. Okay, good luck. Like, we'll see. It's been 7 months. We're going to see. This is the cutoff.
Zipper alert. Like, just huge. Just giant, like, they're all looking at it. Just one huge alarm for just specifically zipper related. And there's just a room of like 200 smoking guys with skinny ties, like, reacting to it.
Houston, we have a problem. Looking at this photo, because it's the double layer of zippers.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, you know how there's like with sleeping bags, you'll have a zipper with an internal component so that you can't get locked in your sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like those ones were always like a lower quality of some sort. Or it would be like where you could zip it from two different directions or something, and they'd have to meet in the middle. Now I'm mad about zippers. Yeah, because I'm thinking about all the sleeping bags I ever had that just like had poor quality zippers. What we needed was a double layer of brass, airtight, rubber insulation, space.
I've never been an active enough person to have used so many sleeping bags that I like wore out the zipper.
I was in the Boy Scouts and my family never bought nice sleeping bags.
Oh, okay.
We only had the low quality ones. Whatever you could find at a Walmart or ideally on the street was kind of what I'd be shipped off to camp in.
With zipper quality, I'm thinking of something you said, Dan, where like zippers are really in the background of our lives. And I feel like I've never actually known the quality of a zipper I have. I just don't think about it. And then at some point it works funny or breaks. And then I think it's bad.
Yeah.
Like that's my entire knowledge of zipper quality.
It has to exist in the background. But I think that by the end of this episode, we'll come to find that zippers themselves are secretly incredibly fascinating.
Stop trying to get in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yes. How are we trying to fit the episode name in?
Dan, Benny got it fair and square. Benny got it fair and square. Okay.
All right. I resist having to say secretly incredibly fascinating every time I do an episode. I also resist. I know when I listen to this podcast, every time you say a number, you're just like, our first number is 7.2, being like, whoa. Just, oh man, just like way before you explain what it could possibly be, just being like amazed by any like fact.
That's a good
not
number.
Even a fact, just a number.
Yeah.
I used to be at the gym and like listening to a comedy podcast and be self-conscious about laughing. I hope people are self-conscious about being like 7.2 out loud, like with no context. That would bring me a lot of joy. Yeah.
1971. Everyone's just like looking at them as they bench press.
That guy must be listening to the secretly incredibly fascinating podcast without Schmidt. He just said 7.2 out loud while running on the treadmill. No context.
Yeah, that's our secret handshake for all the fans, is just say 7.2 to each other with a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, I hate to be departing the numbers now, but there's one more number brings us into the first takeaway, and the number is 1917.
Whoa!
Perfect. And 1917 is the year when an engineer named Gideon Sundback got a U.S. patent for what he called a separable fastener, and that's the start of the modern zipper. That brings us into takeaway number one. Modern zippers are partially the result of a love story. This
Between
is like
the two halves of the pants.
Oh.
together.
It's so apropos.
Yeah.
That a zipper, something that combines two different things into one, is from a love story.
All the teeth just Romeo and Julietting all the time. Yeah, great.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just hugging. That's all it is. A zipper's just some two pieces of metal just hugging.
Just a big hug, yeah. And this is like a little bit of a lengthy takeaway, but it's really where zippers came from as technology. And it gets surprisingly human at the end. It comes from partly two people falling in love, which is very nice. And there's two key sources for this. One of them, I really enjoyed finding out that there is an entire history book all about zippers. It's called Zipper, An Exploration and Novelty. It's by historian Robert Friedel of the University of Maryland. And it's great. It's really fun. The other source is a piece for JSTOR Daily by Cynthia Green. But there were a few people involved in the invention of zippers. It's not just one person. The key one who made them like functional and popular was the engineer Gideon Sundback, who lived 1880 to 1954. And then there were also a couple people before him. And one of them is the inventor of the lockstitch sewing machine. Like, the main modern sewing machine inventor, his name was Elias Howe Jr. He patented the sewing machine in 1846, and then 5 years later filed a patent for what's considered like the first general zipper, like the first thing that is not a modern zipper, but is broadly the idea. I'm going to have a few pictures of patents linked in the episode description and stuff, because you can see like weird kind of zippers from before we had them. And one of them is Elias Howe's.
Interesting. And so prior to zippers, was it just buttons and tying threads, yeah, or something?
Yeah, a lot of pinning, a lot of buttons, a lot of tying. Yeah, there were other ways to do stuff. But, you know, like I would not want to live in a world without zippers. They're really handy. It's really great.
Yeah. Save us so much time.
Yeah.
Centuries of people being like, the Lord will keep my pants together. And you just had to have faith. And it's kind of sacrilegious to not. So the way you described it, is it like a drawstring or like a knapsack, like tightening it, like that kind of thing? I'm having trouble picturing it.
Yeah, it's almost like if you pulled a drawstring to combine the teeth of a zipper. But the other thing about this is this patent from Howe was only ever a diagram. He never like built it or pursued it. He was mostly busy making a bunch of money selling sewing machines and fighting over sewing machine patents. So he gets credit for this and had very little influence on it.
Gotcha.
So who took it around with it?
Yeah, and then the other inventor who really sets the stage for this, his name is Whitcomb L. Judson. And I know this is another long old name, but Whitcomb L. Judson. In 1893, he gets a patent for what he calls a clasp locker or unlocker for shoes. And this will be the other patent picture we have linked. The main innovation he had was a sliding fastener, like the part that we pull up and down on a zipper. But he had a sliding fastener operating a set of hooks and little eyelets, like those little holes that a hook goes into with metal around it. So it's still not really a modern zipper, but it's a lot closer. And he thought that was a way to fasten shoes.
So so zippers are really more recent than, I mean, I guess I would have guessed they were kind of recent, but they're really recent, right? It's like,
yeah, the good ones are about 100 years old. They'll come in like in 1917 there and after.
Yeah, wow. Was it like a huge luxury when it first came out, or is it, is it like
it's a good question.
King had like a zipper, or something,
someone has a zipper and they're like, oh, you're shooting above the waist here.
Yeah, it's just like this like sign of like extreme wealth. It's like,
oh, did you see Mary across the street has zippers on her shoes? Have they done well?
These aristocrats making it a point to not zip up their pants after they use the bathroom until they come out into the parlor, and then they're like, zip, like, oh, what was that? Oh, no problem. Yeah, my pants have zippers.
The proletariat is all striking because their bosses have zippers, but they don't have that luxury.
We must unzip their coffers and spread the wealth. Yeah.
A political cartoon of like JP Morgan's fly, like unzip it, unzip it, you know, it's stupid. Yeah, the zipper, it a lot of it comes down to like skilled machining and mechanical engineering, basically like making the parts well enough. This is never really like a luxury item. It's just something that takes a lot of time to become popular, mainly because Judson especially went all in on trying to make a whole company of this. Like, he patents it in 1893. He's in Chicago, so he exhibits it at the Columbian Exposition of 1893 in Chicago, and then proceeds to found the Universal Fastener Company. But his entire idea for it is... a sliding fastener with a bunch of weird hooks and eyelets. And so it doesn't work very good. And the company struggles. The company changes names and changes home cities repeatedly. It takes them from 1893 all the way until 1905 to sell their first product. They sell a fastener for women's clothing 12 years after they start being a business. And so into the 1900s, kind of no one is excited about zippers, even though we've had the idea.
Gosh, I cannot imagine. You said 1893 to 1905?
Yeah, so 12 years.
So 12 years?
Yeah.
Can you imagine just sitting on an idea for 12 years and being able to like somehow exist and be like, yeah, we haven't launched a product yet, but we got a really good idea.
They're on the same like profitability timeline as every new tech company.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like, we got an idea. We're not going to make a single dollar for 13 years. Oh, yeah. Everyone's investing. Okay, cool.
And a lot of those companies are like Amazon, and this was like a Chicago zipper company. Like, that's just not going to make that much money, man. Right?
Come on. I am curious about when it first came out. It was obviously an item that made life a little easier, for sure, in a few ways, marginally at least. But I wonder if it was like cost effective, if it was cheaper than the alternatives at the time.
Oh,
because I'm sure that it is now, or it is at least cheap enough that we're still using zippers. But I wonder if from the onset, if there was, you know, they probably had to have specialized machinery and stuff to be able to make these, and I wonder how profitable it was, or if it was like, oh yeah, pants are cheaper, or if they're more expensive with a zipper.
Because that's a great question, because it does seem like, we'll get to in a sec, like the leap of good engineering just to make zippers work better fundamentally was the key thing, because then once they were selling, once people were into them, they were an immediate hit. According to Atlas Obscura, this same company, spoiler, they will become a major zipper manufacturer, but they made a jump from selling a few thousand money belts with zippers on them in 1917 to, in 1930, just 13 years later, selling 20 million zippers a year.
Wow.
They went from like a few thousand products to 20 million, basically as soon as people said, okay, now I like zippers, great. Like that was really just the key thing they needed to happen. But I never get the sense they were like only a luxury product or like some kind of Cadillac that you had to be wealthy to get.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the photos of the patent, it looks more like a torture device than anything that would be a luxury component to clothing.
Was there like a watershed like pop culture moment where it's like boxer Jack Johnson shows off his zipper and it like became a phenomenon or something? Actually, that would probably make people riot, but
if a boxer's an old-timey boxer's wearing like a large zipper from the bottom of his boxing trunks all the way up, that's just dangerous at that point. But then again, that inherent zipper danger, you know. He's not going to get hit below the belt, I'll tell you what. That'll cut up your gloves.
Yeah.
All right, off of that, we're going to a short break, followed by the big takeaways. See you in a sec.
This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
It's not a pop culture moment. We'll get to that in the next takeaway, though. Like, there is a spark for it. But this mechanical engineering jump, it happens because of this guy, Gideon Sundback, who I talked about at the start of the takeaway. And he was a highly trained mechanical and electric engineer, and he was from Sweden. He trains in Sweden, trains in Germany, and he's basically the early 1900s version of like a highly sought after coder, or like all the tech companies want to hire this engineer kind of person. And then in 1905, he immigrates to the US and goes straight to his new job in Pittsburgh. Hey, Pittsburgh.
Hey.
At the Westinghouse Company, which was the equivalent of like a big tech company in 1905. And then what happens is he is at Westinghouse. They're paying him well. They're promoting him. Like he's basically just set for a comfortable life in this industry. And then all of a sudden, Sundback quits his job, and he quits to go work at that weird zipper company that has now changed names and locations enough times that it's called the Automatic Hook and Eye Company in Hoboken, New Jersey. And according to historian Robert Friedel's book, the main reason Sundback did that is because he fell in love with the daughter of the plant manager at that company.
Whoa.
Wow.
Like that was the whole reason he basically quit like a top tech job to go work at this weird failing startup.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say fell in love with the zipper. Like he was fascinated by
that. That was the love story.
Not like love, you know, not like sexual desire love, just like that he was like fascinated as an engineer about it. I mean, maybe that.
This is an engineering marvel.
Yeah, that's what right. I thought. Yeah.
He had a lot of passion about zippers.
Uh-huh.
Just that noise coming from his office all the time. Like zip, 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 zip.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's in there.
That
I don't know.
Sweet, sweet zip.
Did they get together? How did it end?
They did. And so, aww. Yeah, but it was this thing. It was also partly a like Swedish immigrant thing. The plant manager of Automatic Hook and Eye was a Swedish immigrant named Peter Aronson. Sundback is a Swedish immigrant and also an engineering guy. And Aronson invites him to visit the company basically as a, like, we're the only Swedish engineers we both know. Why don't we, like, hang out? And then when Sundback visits, he meets Aronson's daughter, Elvira. And according to him, he fell in love with her, pursued her from afar, and then left Westinghouse to be closer to her by working at this sliding fastener company. They get married in 1909, and then also Sundback is a way better engineer than anybody they had and radically improves the tech. He switches them from hooks and eyelets to like interlocking metal teeth like we're used to. And by 1917, they had an awesome product, and zippers become popular.
What a beautiful mutual relationship he had with Hook and Eye. You know, yeah. He was able to get a wonderful life partner, and they were able to get a product that has stood the test of time.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Two love stories right there. Those two.
Truly.
And America with zippers.
Yeah, we're one of the teeth. We're one of the teeth. Yeah. Feels good.
We're all just teeth in a one big love story.
I feel like so many of these product stories, it's like Thomas Edison tried it 1,000 times grimly, and then he finished it. And this one is like human. Like there's like a thing going on, yeah, in the background. I like it so much.
I also just love that this guy just shows up and he's like, hey, we're changing the product. Like, I'm not here because of zippers. I'm here because of Elvira. But your product's garbage, guys, and I'm going to completely change the functionality of it. And then they saw it and they're like, Gideon's right.
Ray, it's like that that job interview thing where like you want to be at least a little enthusiastic about what they do. And he yeah. just went in there like, you guys are the worst. I'm better than all of you. I'm going to fix it. Bring me in.
Yeah, but he did it with a Swedish accent and they were like, he's endearing.
It's true, yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, my English is not so good. Your product is garbage? Am I saying, is that correct? It's just... an Booba absolute bowl. Piece of crap that Booba must bowl. Be thrown away and changed so fundamentally you have to change the name of your company.
Okay, is Gideon, that, do you your, understand your English me? Is actually really good. You knew fundamentally.
That is also true that they actually do change the company name once he improves it because it's not Hooks and Eyes anymore.
Yeah,
they changed the name to Talon and it became, like, to this day, a big zipper manufacturer. Yeah.
Talon? Like T-A-L-O-N?
Yeah, like a bird talon, yeah.
Oh,
talon.
That's so cool. That's so much yeah. cooler.
It also rules, yeah.
See? That's the zippers and the leather jackets.
Yeah.
Talon probably makes all leather jacket zippers.
I'm not a marketing person, but also maybe change the name to this much cooler name.
I don't know, do a Swedish accent. It's like half German. I don't know.
Hey, I'm not even going to attempt because what you did was perfect.
I had a Swedish roommate for 1 month. That's all. I just try to imitate that guy.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I was watching this very real cooking show the other day where they had a Swedish chef. And what he did is he chased a puppet chicken with a big big knife, actually. It was a very real cooking show. I learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. Man.
it's not the Muppets.
Yeah. That was the new Hulu show, The Bear. Yeah, I've seen it. I've worked in a lot of kitchens, so I was triggered at that episode and I couldn't watch anymore. It's just a bit too real for me.
Yeah, it seems like dramatic, but you know, if you've worked in a restaurant, you'll get it. You'll understand yeah. that character
yeah,
immediately.
You'll be like,
we've
wow,
all worked for we've all worked for that Swedish chef.
Swedish chef
in
who's
our
chasing
life.
Around puppets.
Yeah.
The Bear's great, and also I feel like a lot of the discourse around it is how the main guy is hot. And yeah. I really wish all of that was about the Swedish chef puppet. Like, oh, he's so hot. Oh, I can't believe it. That mustache. Oh, crazy.
It does seem like...
I could fix him.
I feel like...
fix him by teaching him words, yeah.
I feel like, you know, 5 years ago, Twitter was like obsessed with just finding the weirdest people hot, right? That was to 2017 Twitter would be like, anyone else think the Swedish chef like low-key wants to bang? Is it, you know, it's like, like
they're like, this dude yeah. definitely eats yeah. cigarettes, but I'm into it.
Smash me with a frying pan, Mr. Chef. And you're like, what? And like there's like 1,200 retweets on it. You're like, you all think this? Like what? What the hell? Like
I'd let him drop a cast iron skillet on my foot. Brand me with your all clad.
Like, this was my sexual awakening when I was 12, and all these people are agreeing. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's just very real. Well, let's get into another main takeaway here. And it kind of continues the story. Takeaway number two. The name Zipper comes from the sound of a zipper.
Ooh.
That's how it came about.
We love an onomatopoeia.
Exactly. And this also covers Dan's great question of, like, was there a moment that made zippers huge? Because it turns out that when Gideon Sunback finishes this, like, better sliding fastener, it still is not called a zipper yet. But they patent that 1917, and then they get a contract to make money belts for the U.S. Navy. Because 1917, the U.S. had just joined World War I, so they're just ordering stuff for all these new troops. And they give American sailors a money belt with a sliding fastener. Those guys really like it, and then from there they spread the word. And what's now called the Hookless Fastener Company, and will be called Talon, gets a bunch of contracts for a bunch of fasteners for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, this was kind of coming out at the perfect time because it was right before World War I, and I'm assuming that the zipper not changed like the war industry or anything, but like they probably were used for a lot of, what do you call the outfits they wear? They're probably
uniforms?
Used for a lot of war costumes.
fighties.
Yeah. Yeah, they're little fightwear.
Yeah, combat romper. Sure. Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
My combat romper.
But it's
that
true.
That was the Swedish guy coming through. He was like, this combat romper will be the perfect thing for your fighters.
Well, and Talon, because that's exactly right. Like military uses, you know, one army could say zippers for this, zippers for that, and so they really spread. But Talon and other companies, and we'll talk a little later about the current biggest zipper company, but they were all just calling them sliding fasteners or other names they could think of. And according to JSTOR Daily, we did already have the word zip that entered English in the mid-1800s, and it meant to move rapidly, which is still what it means today, like zip, you know. But in 1923, the B.F. Goodrich Company, which is today most famous for like tires, you know, but
right.
They were a rubber goods company back then, and they decided to incorporate zippers into some of their rubber boots. And the boots had the brand name Mystix, which was not really selling very well. And then they tried the new name of Zipper Boots. And they specifically picked that name both for the like zip meaning of moving quickly in footwear, but also because right. they heard the sound that the fastener made. And they said, hey, this sounds like zip.
That's very clever. Incredibly, really yeah. So it's kind of like a Xerox or a Q-tip situation where it started as like the name of a product, but then that kind of began to encapsulate the entire mechanism.
Exactly, yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's just a good name, you know?
Yeah, that's a great name.
Like, they nailed it.
They did good, yeah.
I'm zipping around my zipper boots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just feels good. Like, B.F. Goodrich is still a company. That probably helped, you know? Like, it worked. Immediately, people were like, finally, there's a name for these sliding fasteners that we're all getting into in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like nobody wanted to be like, oh, let me just fasten my hook and eye fastener. No,
yeah,
that's lame.
That's pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd cancel plans with them.
They're called zippers now, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Commercial. It's like the intense commercial then, but it's still in like the old, like, you know, Americana, like Norman Rockwell, like ad copy.
Yeah.
Like, it's extreme, but that was extreme then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's into the modern day, there's one last other quick takeaway for the main episode. Here we go. Takeaway number three. Most modern zippers have the letters YKK stamped on them because that's a Japanese brand name. And I think some people might know this also, you at home, not while you're driving or whatever, but you can check your zippers. A lot of them might have the letters YKK stamped onto them. And it turns out that's because after Talon, after these other zipper companies came along, a competing company called YKK from Japan took over the industry.
Wow.
Oh my God, Alex, I just looked down at my zipper. You know what's on it?
YKK?
YKK.
Nice.
Get out of my brain.
Surprise.
I've never given that a thought in my entire life until this second.
It's wild that they brand it.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, get that credit where it's due. But it's also like nobody's noticing that. So it's,
right.
But it's crazy that like a pair of Levi's already has like the tag and the red tag and all the like iconic stuff. But then... The zipper itself, I'd say, is secretly incredibly fascinating because it has this...
You're already in the trailer, pal. Hey.
Let's just extended trailer. Put it in twice.
I'm into it. More trailer. Yeah.
Sweet. little monogram, though. That's really interesting.
It's also interesting that it's just every apparel company referring to this like third-party zipper company to make their zippers. Like everyone's like, they figured it out, I'm not gonna even try. Like, it's not more efficient for a huge clothing company to like make their own zippers or use something else, or everyone's just like, I don't know how the thing works, the teeth,
YKK.
It's so complicated, just buy them from YKK.
YKK's got it on lock, or should I say got it on zip.
Hey, correct.
Thank you.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that expression.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't universal to every zipper, but you at home, if you look at more than a few, this company, the full name is Yoshida Kogyo Kabushi Kigaisha. And Yoshida Kogyo Kabushi Kigaisha makes the majority of zippers in the world today. By the 1970s, they were making a quarter of all of them, and then it grew to most of them. So they took over.
Just giant zippers so they could fit the whole company name on it. They're like, I think we could shorten this a little bit. giant zipper dangling below your shorts with like the Japanese name vertically on it. Like, we could probably do this a little better.
That they hired Gideon Sun back, and that was his first note.
the giant zippers, they're very nice. I just small suggestion, shorten to YKK. Sounds like the beach a little bit.
I think that the bonus episode should just be you talking in your Gideon impression, because I do think that's wonderful.
Just Gideoning, yeah. So the progression here is Talon in the 1930s becomes a huge zipper company, and they're also like sort of creating more market for zippers. Zippers were novel then. Like in 1937, there was an Esquire magazine article claiming that zippers had defeated buttons in what they called the Battle of the Fly, like for flies on pants. Like in, as recently as the 1930s, people were like, can you believe these zippers? Amazing. And so until somewhat recently, recent decades, there was this Talon company was the main one. There was also a German one called Optalon. And then in the meantime, Tadao Yoshida of the town of Kurobe in Japan, Yoshida sets up his own company that's acronym YKK in 1934. They immediately just reverse engineer Talon's design and make their own Talon zippers in Japan. Also, the company initially set up in Tokyo, that factory got destroyed in the firebombing of Tokyo in World War II. Then Yoshida moves back home to Kurobe, just restarts the company. And they just increasingly succeeded at making the best zippers, the most popular zippers, to the point where today they are most of them. And then to people who have not heard this, like just mysteriously, a lot of the zippers on your things will say YKK.
Wow.
But it's because Yoshida Kogyo Kabushi Kigaisha is the company that made it. That's what's going on.
Wow.
Talon was like, hey, when you're bombing Tokyo, if you happen to hit the zipper factory, we will not complain.
Gideon's making their war rompers, and he's just like, hey, if you want this shipment.
You still want these boots, yeah.
Yeah, there's
don't
like
go out of your way, but you know, just send a few bombs out that way.
And it's like you guys said, like you would think a lot of companies would just make their own zippers in house, and I'm sure a few do, but no, there's been this like Coke versus Pepsi, and then overwhelmingly one by one company battle between zipper makers. And YKK is so dominant that a few years ago, they fought and lost an antitrust lawsuit in the European Union because the EU said, you guys are fully a monopoly. We need to like break you up a little bit.
Wow. Y and K go your separate ways.
Yeah.
And their response to the European Union, I heard was they said, hey, zip it. And they're like, oh, you got us. All right.
Folks, that is the main episode for this week. My thanks to Dan Hopper and to Benny Wayne Sully for being a trio with me, sort of like that trio of letters YKK that might be on your zippers right now. Wow. Anyway, I said that's the main episode because there is more secretly incredibly fascinating stuff available to you right now. If you support this show on Patreon.com, patrons get a bonus show every week where we explore one obviously incredibly fascinating story related to the main episode. This week's bonus topic tackles kind of a comedy trope, kind of an urban legend, but it turns out a real and rare thing. It is the reality and the myths of zipper injuries. And I mean in the there's something about Mary way. Visit sifpod.fun for that bonus show, for a library of more than 8 dozen other bonus shows, and to back this entire podcast operation. And thank you for exploring zippers with us. Here's one more run through the big takeaways. Takeaway number one, modern zippers are partially the result of a love story. Takeaway number two, the name zipper comes from the sound of a zipper. Takeaway number three, most modern zippers have the letters YKK stamped onto them because that's the dominant Japanese zipper brand. Plus more about NASA and the Rolling Stones and other rad stuff. Those are the takeaways. Also, please follow my guests. They're great. Visit ranker.com to see Dan Hopper's work every day. Also going to link a couple other comedy writing pieces from him. And he is at Dan Hopp on Twitter. That is Dan, H-O-P-P. Dan Hopp on Twitter. He also has a separate Pittsburgh sports account that we talked about on the Hockey Pucks episode because he's very, very funny about Pittsburgh sports and also thoughtful about putting that in a separate account. Benny Wayne Sully, also on Twitter. He is at The Doofus, at T-H-E-D-O-O-P-H-U-S, The Doofus. Gonna have that linked, of course. You can also catch Benny on the NDND YouTube channel, where they do tabletop role-playing games with an all-native cast. If you are at any film festivals coming up, look for the short My First Native American Boyfriend, starring Benny Wayne Sully, written and directed by Joey Clift. And Hey New York City. Hey, New York City, if you're here like September, October, November, there's an amazing off-Broadway show coming up. It's called Peerless. It's a darkly comedic take on Macbeth set in the world of college admissions. And that's going to be starring Benny Wayne Sully in New York City. Many research sources this week. Here are some key ones. And one big pleasure of making this show is finding out that an expert has written the definitive nonfiction book entirely about a topic that is an episode topic. This week I learned that is a book called Zipper, An Exploration in Novelty. And that's written by historian Robert Friedel of the University of Maryland. Beyond that, leaned on all sorts of online sources from places like the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, JSTOR Daily, Vanity Fair, Atlas Obscura. Find those and many more sources in this episode's links at sifpod.fun. And beyond all that, our theme music is Unbroken Unshaven by the Budos Band. Our show logo is by artist Burton Durand. Special thanks to Chris Souza for audio mastering on this episode. Extra, extra special thanks go to our patrons. I hope you love this week's bonus show. And thank you to all our listeners. I'm thrilled to say we will be back next week with more secretly incredibly fascinating. So how about that? Talk to you then.